Welcome to Wealthy After 40. Ready to ditch debt, retire sooner, and live life on your own terms? Only 54% of Gen Xers feel prepared for retirement, and 22% believe they will live a comfortable lifestyle. So if you're feeling like your finances are a hot mess express, you are not alone. I'm Daylene Higgins, founder of Elevate Finances and money coach for Gen Xers. I reached my dream of retiring at 50 while helping our daughter through college, and now I want to help you do the same. It's time to stop avoiding your finances like the plague and start having confident conversations about money. Join me every week to talk about personal budgeting, debt payoff, saving for retirement, money mindset, and leaving a legacy for future generations. Okay, friends, let's talk money. Welcome to today's episode of Wealthy After 40. I am so excited for today's guest, Adam Jablin. He is a best-selling author, inspirational keynote speaker, transformational life coach, and spiritual and recovery mentor. In 2006, Adam got clean and sober, which unleashed many gifts he had hidden inside. Adam inspires and teaches those fighting fears, alcoholism, and addictions to unleash their inner hero. Welcome to the podcast, Adam.
Thanks for having me.
First sentence you put was that divorce was the hardest thing you ever had to go through.
The hardest. And I'm comparing that also to getting clean and sober and then things that I had to accomplish on this journey up to 47 years. I think, well, first off, I want to say that I had to redefine that my divorce, that divorce isn't failure. It felt like I was all in and I never wanted to be divorced. And I was somebody that believed, that truly, truly believed that if you work hard enough and long at it and persistent enough, and you just hang in there, it's this grind, work people out, just keep going. And that mentality, it can get you a lot of success in many areas. But a lot of times people don't talk about the negative side to that thinking and what happens when you put all your eggs in one basket. And the hardest thing I had to learn in my divorce was that it takes two. It takes two to really want that, to really work at it, to really understand one another. I can't do the therapy for us. I can't do the couples counseling for us. I can't make you see out of my eyes. I can't stay person for you. I don't want I can't stay in this. I can't not grow. I could go on about the details, but in the end, what happened was two people after 20 years grew apart, and it was the hardest thing for me to deal with. I had children. That was our home, was my wife. And think about the way I'm even saying labels, these constructs, these vows. It totally, totally crushed me. That tends to happen. There's this theme within my life that the thing that hurts the most is the thing that also gives me the most freedom. Because if you would have asked me in 2006 what was the worst that ever happened to me, I'd be put in a rehab center, you know. And it was the greatest. It was the greatest. You know, the what I thought the worst day of my life was in that intervention, it ended up being the best day of my life. And I'm not pro divorce, by the way. I'm really not, and I'm happy to answer any questions. What I'm proud of is, I would like to speak for both of us, but I mean, that could infuriate her, right? So I'll just speak for myself. Is I believe we hung in, I hung in there, and I hung in there to the last second. There was no more, you know? So I don't have the regrets of, I could have just done this, or I could have, I mean, I hung in there till my kids were like, Dad, maybe it's time to move out. You know, like, it's weird. And weird meaning like there's no pots and pans being thrown or angry. Like there was just, it was almost like a feeling. It was just a quiet. It was like somebody died. It was as if there was a death.
Yeah.
I think if there's still anger in that, then there's something there. When it's over, it is a really weird feeling.
Okay. You also said, you know, that the decision, the pain, the splitting of the family, the financial hardships. But then you said that there's a rainbow and a bigger lesson on the other side. So talk on both sides of that. You know, I know you said it was hard and all of that, mm-hmm. and the death. But then how did you find your rainbow?
Yeah. Well, finances are an interesting conversation, and it could probably be its own podcast in itself, just a financial standpoint. We were still a traditional family in which I was the provider. She was a house mom, and I was in all modern concepts of success there, you know. Now, not Grant Cardone, not this new Instagram success, right? Not Grant Cardone and Trump, but I was doing well, you know. I was doing well, and we had two nice cars, and we had a beautiful home that was fully paid for. And I mean, it was, you know, we live in Boca Raton, Florida. I mean, really, to majority of the world, like, no, that's a successful young man. He's doing just fine. And the reason I bring that up is when a divorce happens, everything is looked at, every single thing. And you realize how far certain things go and how far certain things don't go. And we were also in the middle of selling our family business, which was one of the catalysts to my divorce, believe it or not. Because again, it wasn't, I mean, it breaks my heart admitting this, but we were two people that we were married to a lot of ideals. We were this ideal of I am the provider, that we are in a family business that's very successful. Her parents were almost part of our marriage in a weird way. Like it was like we weren't really married to each other. We were married to these, you know, we both are, I mean, she's the best mom. We were both fully in love with her. But, you know, she had these ideas that she did not want my kids to know I was in recovery. Like we were married to one another. We were married to these constructs we put together. And when you start taking constructs out, you know, parents getting sick with a stroke, family business being moved out, kids are starting to have friends drink and drug, and I can't discuss this with them. Like there was too much shifting, and now there's too much reality in the middle. And there's two people that aren't really married to one another, right? They look good together. They built, and now you're going to split the finances in half, right? So if you take a dollar, it's 50 cents. You're going, it's really 30 cents, 20 cents, and the rest are going to attorneys, right? And things get even tighter, and anxiety kicks up and worries kick up. And does that mean that has to change for the children? Or does that mean that has to change for you? Or does that mean it's changed for me? And I'm very old fashioned. So I would give more. I'm only getting 20 cents. Well, here's an extra 10 cents to you because I don't want my kids to suffer at all. And that makes that person believe, oh, if you're giving me 10 cents, that means you probably have 50 cents saved over. It just was great. I'm like, no, we were together for 20 years. So these stories and these feelings and this drama and then you're suffocating it. And then you start realizing, wait, there's a reason we're getting divorced. And a divorce is divided force. And it's not time to play Mr. Nice Guy, and it's not time to be Mr. I walk on water. This is a time to say what's right, what's fair is fair, and we have to move on as individuals, and we also have to co-parent these children. And you start allowing other people to teach you and talk to you and share with you, and you start realizing all the things that you gave up of yourself to make something work, and these things start coming back, and realizing your own happiness and your own likes and your own dislikes and the things you were allowed to say and the things you're allowed to say. You get your personality back. All of a sudden, there is a rainbow. There is a rainbow. And when that healing occurs, you know, I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't planning on it. As a matter of fact, there's so many different versions of Adam Javelin, but there's a version out there that was one saying, like, you know what? George Clooney or Tom, but I'm not bad on the eyes. Yeah, I don't think I'm ever going to be with another woman for a long time again. Yeah, I mean, this is fun. Just that guy to talk to me, like, you have such a mouth, because I fell in love again. And I never wanted that to be the plan, you know. And the truth of it is, that's part of that rainbow too. That you can heal. That you can realize that you're not every thought you have. You know, you're not every idea you have. You're not every story you tell yourself. When you start doing that work and growing, and you allow yourself that permission to say, I don't know, but I'm willing to take that next step. It's surfing a rainbow.
I love that. I love that, that you kind of are okay with yourself and you're ready for change. So you open yourself up and you're ready to move forward. And fell in love again. You didn't want it. Did you fight it?
You know, I think there are even parts of me that still want to fight it, because you know, sometimes you have to pray who hears this and who doesn't hear this. So I'm going to ask God to produce this podcast. Okay. I was 25 when I got married. I was 23 when we met. I was still drinking and drugging. I was successful, but I'm like 3 years removed from college. There was such a connection and such a chemistry, and a lot of things were great. But did I fall in love, or did I fall in lust? And did I fall in love with an idea? And did I fall in love with a dream? And did I know who the hell I was? You know, I could say right now that the woman I'm with loves me and I love her. And like, it's a real partnership, and I know who I am. My ex is a woman, but we were kids. You know, we were kids. That's the truth. You know, kids. Like, I was a kid.
And had an addiction.
Yeah.
That probably changed the view of actuality, reality, right? So someone who has overcome addiction.
Yeah.
And gone through something they claim is even harder than that.
Harder. Divorce is harder than getting over. Yes. For me, divorce was harder than recovery. And I can explain many reasons why.
Okay, let's hear it.
Want me to get into it?
I would love to hear it.
So here we go. Alcoholism and addiction is considered a disease, okay? By the medical community. I don't like getting into the debate of it. It's considered a medical, right? It's progressive. It gets worse over time. It's chronic. It's always getting worse. It's primary, meaning it's not secondary. It's the first thing, and it's fatal. Okay? It kills you. You take one of those aspects away, it's actually a disorder, right? Because there's one of those missing. When you have all four, you're considered a medical disease. And I've seen many people die from alcoholism and addiction. So I can witness it. Now, if you can surrender that you are wired differently, meaning my body compared to your body, let's just pretend, take a shot together, vodka, ice cold vodka. You take a shot, I take a shot. It goes down your throat, you know, into your stomach, through your pancreas, the kidneys process it, your liver breaks it down into acetones and sugars. Those send signals up to your brain. Your brain actually starts telling you, ooh, ooh, I'm a little woozy. Ooh, if I have too many of these, I probably shouldn't drive. I'm a little, yeah, okay. Normal reaction. I take one. Same thing, goes through the stomach, the gut lining, liver, the pancreas, and that, you know, all the things, kidneys, liver breaks it down to acetones and sugar, sends those signals up to my brain. My brain literally tells me, this is good. I want more. pour another one. I drive better like this. I look better like this. This is the answer. Like, literally a complete. So we have different programming. We have different, right? When you can surrender that this is how you are, this is how you're wired, you have an obsession over it, meaning you obsess over it. You can't stop thinking about it, right? And then when you take it, it sets up a whole allergy and manifestation that you literally need it. You physically need it, right? So you're obsessing over it. Now you physically need it, okay? Once you start understanding what alcoholism addiction is, how to surrender, what process out of that is, looking at being, if it's step work, spirituality, if it's religion in some aspects, if it's for some people going into old inner trauma with inner child stuff, there's all ways of processing. But what will happen is you will be able to find a fellowship and people around you that have the same feelings as you, the same body makeup as you, the same chemistry as you, that can actually show you how to live every day. You could talk about it, share about it, read the same books, become part of a community, help one another. And as a matter of fact, you become a whole new, beautiful life. Recovery is a big, beautiful, beautiful life, right? And over the years, I'm not breaking their anonymity, right? Or saying, but there have been unbelievable celebrities that have stepped out and said, I have suffered from alcoholism addiction. I found the way out. And there are people that you could look up to and admire saying, oh, I'm not that unique. Do you know what I mean? So if it's Robert Downey Jr. showing his medallion, his coin, or if it's Eminem, or if it's George H. Bush, not Republican or Democrat, just somebody saying, I suffered from alcoholism and I'm free of it, right? So now you have a president. Now it's not like the 1950s and 60s where alcoholism addiction was a taboo. You have all these people being, you know what I mean? Open, and before, you know, when you heard somebody going to rehab, like back when I even went, it was a little bit like, oh my God. Now it's like, that's wonderful, right? It's embraced, it's good for you. Okay, great. Divorce is not like that. You don't go away for 28 days. You don't find a bunch of people that are, you know, maybe you find friends that are rah-rahing you and try to talk bad about it, but like, no, it's not like that. You're finding somebody talking bad about someone that you just spent 20 years with. And by the way, that hurts you anyway. But you're not finding a different way of living in a different community, in a different, you know. Oh God, a different way of life and a blueprint for living. As a matter of fact, if anything, your whole blueprint for living was just taken from you, and you're seeing your kids less. And if you're like me, I gave the house. Some people want to split the house for the money, whatever. I want my kids to stay in their house, but like, you're not home anymore. And even their home is not, you know, when my kids admit to me, Dad, it doesn't feel like home without you. So home is different. Everything is different and everything has changed, and it does not feel like a loving, supportive new beginning. What it actually feels like is a death. It feels like a death. And it's not just you. My recovery, although you'll see the effect of it in every relationship I have, and not only that, my recovery finally became not about me. Right? It became about how I can serve and how I can help others. But in the beginning, it had to be about me. It had to be about how does Adam learn how to live as an alcoholic and addict in recovery? And then little by slowly, allow that to affect the family, allow that to affect friendships, allow myself to learn what people, places, and things mean. Dude, I mean, I was so blessed to come in, you know what I mean, in 2006. Now, granted, that's still considered early because it was pre-social media and this and that. So, well, you know, it's still like anonymous and kind of hush-hush. But the reason I'm sharing that is that I was so blessed because recovery had been around for at least since the 1920s and 30s as a real established thing. And there was just so much work done under it. you know, I almost feel like divorce needs like Divorce Anonymous or something. Like it needs steps. It needs a community, because what's really happening is you're being stripped away of a lot of your life, you know, in my opinion. And it felt hard. What I didn't realize that you're going to be, what I didn't realize, because I love everybody so much, was that you're going to be given something much better on the other end. And they can tell you, and attorneys can tell you, and friends can tell you, but you know, it's not just about you. If you're getting divorced, it's all the fact that you're saying divided force, it's already about two people.
You know, you've been through a lot. And before we end, I just want to get one tidbit from you. If somebody is going through something hard, you know, consistency is key. Patience is key. But what encouragement can you give listeners to keep going, to find that rainbow?
So my biggest wish, would be that you could hear, a future version of yourself talking to you and letting you know, listen, what you're thinking and feeling now, I was you. And I understand why you're thinking and feeling like that. But that's because of the limited thinking you have up to this point. And these are the stories you're telling yourself that is keeping you here. There's so much more on the other side. And all this worry and all this pain and all this anxiety is 99.9% in your head. It's not actually happening. Try to relax and enjoy the ride, because the truth of it is divorce is a mental and an emotional thing. You're not training for the Navy SEALs. So if you can realize that this is all mental and emotional, you can get a better grasp of, okay, wait a second. This is actually happening in my head.
Thank you for that. Wow. Thank you for taking the time today to share with us your story, both stories, and how you were able to find a more positive outlook, right? So if you want to connect with Adam, you can find him on his website at adamjablin.com or on Instagram under the same. And those links are down in our show notes. So please go connect with him and learn more about him. Appreciate your time, Adam.
Thank you for having me. If you ever need me or be of service to your listeners, please let me know, even for a Q&A, because this is something that I would love to help people with. It was the most challenging time of my life, for sure.
Great. Well, thank you for sharing. And listeners, go find him on Instagram or his website to connect. Thanks for listening. Every week, my goal is to help you get one step closer to financial freedom and making confident decisions so your money starts working for you. Do you have any questions from today's episode? Send me a message on Instagram. I'd love to help you gain more clarity around today's topic. Want more exclusive tips, trainings, and resources to help you hit your financial goals fast? Grab my free resource at elevatefinances.us/subscribe and join my free community to receive access to best tips, tools, and resources in your inbox weekly. And if you're looking for personalized support to get your finances on track for retirement, check out my website at elevatefinances.us to learn more about one-on-one coaching.